You've heard of Omnicom and Publicis, right? Well, they've heard of you, and they're merging.
Make it a working lunch. Listen to the Marketplace Midday Update podcast for the day's top business headlines. Subscribe on iTunes or at marketplace.org/podcasts.
From APM in New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Global Perspective on Business and Economics. Two huge companies that play a large role in how you see the world want to merge. Omnicom of the U.S. and Publicis of France want to tie the knot in a $35 billion deal that will remake the global business of advertising. From the Marketplace European desk in London, Stephen Beard reports.
Even the superlatives favored by the ad industry hardly do justice to the deal. It is a monster. The new group will employ more than 130,000 people, and it will generate annual sales approaching $23 billion. But analysts say other ad agencies will be salivating over the merger. Because the two firms are so big, they will bring rival accounts under the same roof, like Coke and Pepsi. Ewan Sterling of Standard Life Investments says some clients could flee the new mega agency.
It may be that clients just decide, because of conflicts of interest within particular industries, that they decide to look for another supplier of advertising services. And I would expect most of the industry participants to watch for that first.
A Franco-American deal like this is unusual, but because it's not a takeover, because it's described as a merger of equals with two CEOs acting in tandem, the French government is reported to have given its blessing. In London, I'm Stephen Beard for Marketplace.
Also today, the American maker of over-the-counter medicine, Perrigo, says it'll buy the Irish drug maker Elan for $8.6 billion. Perrigo gets royalties from Elan's best-selling treatment for multiple sclerosis. Perrigo also gets a new address for its tax returns, Ireland, where corporate tax rates are lower. These things have a habit of being contagious, so let's focus on Japan's plummeting share prices in the last 2 days, where the Nikkei fell 3% Friday, then another 2.25% today. Some see this as a mini-correction and are calling into question Abenomics, Japanese Prime Minister Abe's aggressive stimulus and reform program. Watching the gyrations is the BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Morning, Rupert.
Morning, David.
Some are calling this a mini correction. We'll know if it's an actual stock market correction in the fullness of time. But do you see underlying problems in the Japanese economy that could be contributing to this?
You know, I think the whole problem with this whole stock market rally and the corrections that have gone on over the last few months is that there isn't any direct correlation between what's happening with the underlying economy and this massive rally that we've seen. So these moves up and down seem to be fairly random.
And when it turns, it does turn quickly. The Japanese election was just, I think, the other day, seen as a triumph of Prime Minister Abe's economic program. But just over a week later, suddenly, seemingly, pessimism.
Yeah, and I think what it shows is that investors are jittery and they are really not sure at all whether Abenomics is the real deal. You know, there's a lot of skepticism, A, as to whether Mr. Abe can pull this off, and also about the underlying problems with Japan's economy, the aging society, the very unreformed domestic economy here. And then behind that all, once in a while, we remember that Japan has the biggest public debt in the developed world. And that is a massive, massive problem.
The BBC's Rupert Wingfield Hayes in Tokyo. Rupert, thank you.
Thank you.
Again, Japan's Nikkei fell 2.25% today, but I would be remiss if I didn't mention that index is still up 61% over the last year. Now let's do some more numbers. The Hang Seng Index in Hong Kong fell 0.5%, but the FT100 in London is currently up 0.4%. Stock index futures in the U.S. are down at the moment.
Get Marketplace's top headlines, podcasts, and special features delivered right to your inbox each day. Subscribe to the Midday Update newsletter at marketplace.org.
We've covered so many stories of homeowners in the U.S. ruined when the housing bubble popped. Many were pushed into homes they could never afford. Over the next 2 days, we take a look at some folks in the middle of those deals, the realtors, Marketplace's David Weinberg reports.
The city of Riverside, California, is known above all else for its orange groves.
You know, 20, 30 years ago when I was growing up, you'd open up the windows in the morning, bam, there was that smell of oranges in the air.
Rusty Bailey was born and raised here. Now he's the mayor of Riverside, a city with roughly 300,000 people. And oranges are no longer the main industry.
It's phased out from being oranges into rooftops. There's one more large grove out there.
And you can see that large grove from Bailey's office. It's next to a development called Orange Crest.
I always say that Orange Crest really is orange groves, palm trees, and families.
Crystal Wilson moved to Orange Crest 13 years ago. She started a realty business, and for a while, things were going spectacularly well. Before the crash, the city was ranked number 4 in the nation in home value appreciation.
I can remember calling my family in Georgia. Oh, my gosh, look at what they're saying my house is valued for now. Oh, my gosh, look at this year. Oh, da-da-da-da.
Wilson sold a lot of houses in Orange Crest. She took me to neighborhoods where she sold nearly every single house. And many of those sales were done with 100% financing. And because property values were rising so quickly, Wilson encouraged people to use the equity in their new home to move up.
You always move up, you know. Okay, well, we've got our starter home. Let's move to our next home, the big McMansion.
That, of course, did not last. When the housing bubble burst, people in Riverside lost their homes in record numbers.
There was a lot of shame and embarrassment. People didn't want to talk about it. Neighbors disappeared overnight.
People also got angry. Angry at Wilson for selling them a house they couldn't afford. These were people she stood next to in line at the grocery store, and it changed her, especially how she worked with clients and what she told them when they came to her to buy a home. We'll have the rest of her story in part 2 of the series tomorrow.
And the Associated Press has done some instructive number crunching and today reports that sometime in our lives, 4 out of 5 American adults will struggle with joblessness, near poverty, or reliance on government welfare. That's 4 out of 5 of us. Among the reasons listed, globalization, loss of better-paying manufacturing jobs in America, lower rates of marriage, and a general widening of the gap between rich and poor. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.